Hi, this is Jeremy Cruz. I'm the teaching pastor here at Fairhaven Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan. We exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really excited about this morning. I get excited about every Sunday morning, but this one in particular, because I'm teaching on a passage that if I had to choose one passage, only one that I could preach on for the rest of my life, and it would be the only one I could choose, it would be this one. It's because the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 15, the Gospel of Luke in particular, chapter 15, the story of a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost son. It is the gospel in a nutshell. It tells the whole of the story. And this story is not really as much about a sheep or about a coin or about a son as it is about God. And it gives a great platform for us to launch a talk about that. And so if you're here this morning, and maybe this is your first time here at Fairhaven, I think you picked a great Sunday to show up. I also want to say this before we jump into it, that we live in a world where we're surrounded by people. And because we're surrounded by people, we're surrounded by people that make mistakes. And because we're surrounded by people that make mistakes, it can lead to a place where a lot of us can feel regret for some of the decisions we made, some of the places we've gone, some of the things that we've done. And it makes it really important, I believe, to really know what is God's heart for those of us like that. And with that, I would like to ask you that we pray, because I think we're going to dive into something that's pretty serious this morning, and especially for some of us maybe here today that are living in that place right now. Father, we would ask this morning that we would see you. That's it. And that would be more than enough. If we could get a glimpse of you, get a glimpse of your heart, get a glimpse of your compassion and your love and your forgiveness and your healing, your longing for each one of us. And so by your Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and to bless us. And we pray this in your name, amen. Top questions that many of us are asking in our lives have to do with things like love and belonging and purpose. And we might ask them this way, a question about like, why am I here? Or maybe a question of what is the purpose of my life? Or what value do I actually bring to this world? And these questions about, do I fit? Do I belong? Am I loved? Am I enough? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? What value do I bring to the world? Those questions then drive us in our living to try to figure out the answers to those questions. And in that living, being driven by these longings, these needs that we have inside of us, some of that living, trying to answer those questions, will bring us to a place that's really good or really bad. And so we go off living, asking the questions like, where will I find the love that I need? Or what do I do to earn the kind of respect that I'm looking for? Or a really, really big question is, what is it really? Like, I've tried a lot of things. I've been a lot of places. I've experienced all kinds of stuff on both sides of the aisle. What is it, really, really, because I'm not finding it, really, that I was created for? Anybody ever hear of this thing called Rumspringa? You ever hear of that before? Probably, right? So Rumspringa, if you've never heard of it, is something the Amish people, not all Amish communities do this, but some do. And if you didn't know, not all Amish communities are identical. But a lot of Amish communities allow their their teenagers between the ages like 14 and 16 to go on this thing called Rumspringa, which literally means running around, trying to go out there and experiment to check out the world. They give them permission for a period of time, and it can last all the way up to the age of 23, to go off on the weekends and to go experiment with the world, go check out the world, go live out in the world, do whatever you want out in the world. And it doesn't seem to fit for a lot of us with what we have in our minds about what the Amish community is, because we wouldn't do that with our kids. Like, how many of you had a curfew growing up? All right, so for those kids that are going, why do I have a curfew? That helps you parents out. There was a whole bunch of us, right? We had curfews. We were responsible for being in our bed on the weekends and the weekdays. There's a bed for us to be in. They're allowed to go out and experiment with the world with this understanding. After you've gone out and sown your wild oats, after you've gone out and experimented with the world, you have a choice to make. Is that what you want? Do you want to live that way? Because you can. You can go out and live in the world, or you can come back and you can be baptized into our community. You can belong to this family, or you can leave it. Your call. Now, my guess is, pretty safe bet, that there's not a lot of us in this room, maybe none of us in this room that are Amish, but I'm guessing there's a whole bunch of us that have done the Rumspringa thing, if you will, that we went off on a senior break Springa down to Daytona at one point, or we made our way to what is done in Vegas, stays in Vegas, Springa. Or we were really unwise and went out and bought a Corvette in a midlife crisis without talking to our wife, Springa, you know, whatever you did. And we did it. All of us, Paul said, doing what you felt like doing when you felt like doing it. And how did that turn out for you? And my guess is there's a bunch of us here today that have not only experimented with it and toyed with it, but ended on the backside of it with a lot of guilt around it and a lot of regret around it. And maybe because we're large enough here this morning, probably not maybe, probably for sure. Some of you are right now in that place where you're running around, you're messing around, you're experimenting, testing the waters, and just wondering, how's this gonna go for me? And maybe you wonder, well, how'd it go for the rest of you? How'd it go for you guys around? I would say ask. Pretty honest people here. We don't try to hide things around here. We'll be real with you. If you're curious about me, I would love an opportunity to sit down with you. If you're in your 18, 19, 20, 22-year-old range and you're thinking, how did that go for you during that period? Pastor Greg, I would love a chance to have that conversation with you and just to listen. No judgment. We've been there, done that, and to be able to have a conversation with you around that would be a gift for us. We'd love to do that. But in that place, when you've gone where you never thought you would go, did what maybe you didn't think you would ever end up doing, said some things or acted in some ways that ushered in some stuff in your life that you went, well, I never wanted this in my life. I wonder if you've ever played that game that I played before. You start playing that only if game. Only if I hadn't said that. Only if I hadn't gone there. Only if I wouldn't have done that. Only if somebody would have shared a little more strongly with me about what that might have done in my life. Only if I actually would have listened when somebody had shared that advice with me. Only if I'd attuned my ear and actually believed that somebody that walked that road had some wisdom for me to offer. Only if I hadn't gone as far as I did. Only if I wouldn't have left this wake of guilt and pain and shame, not just for me, but some pain for the people around me. Only if I had not done that. Which brings me to this. There's a story. If I only had one to preach on, this would be it. a story of somebody that lived that, a story that Jesus told anyway of somebody that would live that. And this is a made-up story that he made up, but there's so much truth in it because it's the story of people before Jesus told the story, the people of those that were listening to the story, and those of us that live it today. He tells the story of two sons, and Jesus will pick up the story in verse 11. Chapter 15 said these words. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father, and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." Again, this is a story about God primarily. "His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants," almost like the father barely heard the words, almost like the father's looking down the road saying, "His move coming home is enough. That's what I was longing for." "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate." Now, I'm going to start by just leveling the playing ground and stating the obvious so that we have level ground that we're standing on with one another here this morning. And it's this: I have done things really well in my life, and I've messed up. And I know that to be true about me. And I know that to be true about humans, which means I know that to be true about you too, that you have done some things really well in your life, and you have messed up in your life. We have all done it. That's what leads us to the only if game. That's not just about when you get in a car accident or bang up your mom and dad's car and you go, "If only if I had paid more attention, only if." This is an only if game that gets really, really serious. Like when we really mess up and really hurt people and really do things that actually hurt our lives, we begin to play that only if game. And another way of actually saying only if is the title of this message this morning: Awakening to Regret. Regret. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have gone there. I wish I would have listened to someone. I wish I would have paid more attention to the very heartbeat of God for me. I wish I wouldn't have wandered away from the one that loves me and longs for the best for me, but I did. I did. And you did. And we all did. And Jesus told a story, not about two sons. He told a story about God, primarily. And in that, his relationship with you and with me. And what he told us is what happened to this young guy who went off and squandered, went off and did these things that he woken to regret, but he said it this way, that he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, like when the light bulb finally came on, when he woke up, when he looked into the mirror and said, "What am I doing?" The consequences of his actions had led him to a place where he was desperate, cracked in the forehead with life itself, and said, "I'm in need. I'm in desperate need here, and I don't like the place that I'm at." Just like every other human being who has ever been there, me too, you too. When he finally woke up, he had a decision to make. What am I going to do about this? What's my plan? What's my next move? And his next move was a brilliant one. And we'll get to that in just a second. Now, this guy was living in the day, or Jesus told the story, if you will, about a person, and it could have been any one of the people that were listening to it, and definitely was every single person listening to the story, including you and I here this morning. But as he told this story so that they could capture the heart of God, they lived in a culture where there was no such thing as a living will. There was no such thing as living trusts. There was no such thing as legal documents that would allow you to get your inheritance or avoid probate, none of that kind of stuff. It was a father, at the last hour of his life, he would call in his sons who would then be responsible for caring for the greater family called the Beit Av. He would have called them in and then said to them, "Here's how the inheritance is gonna go." His word would have distributed his wealth. What we find in this story that is offensive, but what Jesus said, is this younger son didn't want to wait. This younger son went to his father and he spoke to him in such a fashion that he said to him, "Father, give me the share of the estate, my share of the estate. I want it now. I don't want to wait. I have some things I want to do with my life. I have some wants that I have in my life." In other words, he's got this longing that we talked about last week in the message, a longing for some stuff that he thinks is going to actually get him what he wants in life. The big questions: why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? How do I find love? How do I find respect? How do I get what I want? How do I fill this longing inside of me? And he had an idea about what might do that, but in order to get it, he didn't need his father. He needed what his father had made. Didn't need his dad. He needed what his dad had. And he said to him, "Father, give me the share, my share of the estate." Would have been like, and I'm not over-exaggerating this, especially in that day and age, would have been like saying, "I don't care about you, Dad. I just care about your stuff." So we would expect that Jesus' response to this would have been, in the telling of the story, like his next line was, the dad backhanded his son, or the dad sent his son packing. The dad said to him, "How dare you ask such a thing of me?" Especially in that culture. "Be gone." And what he was really saying to his dad is, if you could back up that next line there, what he was actually saying to his dad is this: "Dad, I wish you were dead." It's the same way. "Father, give me the share, my share of the estate," is equivalent to saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." And the shocking thing, the most shocking thing in this story that Jesus told, is that the father didn't say, "Be gone." The father actually said this: "Okay, I'll do it. Jesus said so. He divided his property between them. Wow. And so he let him go do what he was going to do. And if this is a story about the heart of God, about who God is, that means Jesus is trying to portray that when you want to make a decision, the son wants to make a decision that's going to lead to some hurt, he can do it. You too. Then when you want to wander away from home, if home is the very heart of God, the Father let him go, and you can too. You can wander too. That if you want to go off down a road that even when the Father knew this is going to lead to a mountain of regret and a truckload of pain is going to back up and dump right into my son's life, he let him go, and he'll let you go too. He'll let you make that decision. And the son went. The truck backed up. He went off living, wild living. The truck dump loads its load of pain right on him. And then he came to his senses. Took this inventory of his life and said, this isn't it. I tried. I went off and I did it, but this isn't it. I don't like where I'm at. He looked at the pigs that were eating and he thought, I wish that I could eat some of these, but my employer, who I've given myself to serve him, he won't even allow me to eat these pig pods. I can't even eat them. He began to think about the goodness of his own father and the land that he used to live in when he was with his father as his son, but then even went, what is his father's servants like? And his father's a good man. And his father, actually, they have food to spare because he cares so well for them. Jesus wrote these words about this guy's wonderings. How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. Starving to death. And then the thought that hits any one of us that go farther than we thought we would ever go, did more than we ever thought we would do, found ourselves in places we never thought we would be, and brought in a heap of pain, not just for ourselves, for people around us that we never thought we would bring in. Have I gone too far now? Now what? Now what? I'm not even worthy to be called his son. I treated him like I didn't care that he was my dad. I wish that he were dead and took the inheritance before he was even able to give his wishes. In the coming to his senses, he met up with regret in such an enormous way. It could have crippled him, but Jesus continued in the story. Say, and then he made the best first move. He acknowledged where he had been, what he had done, and came clean on it. Now, I don't quote a lot of authors from the pulpit. Occasionally I do, but when I do, I try to be cautious about who I quote, because some people will go out, and you should, and go out and read or look, and in reading and looking, you might go, but do you know that this guy said that? And do you know this person? And in this case, I'm about to quote somebody that I don't fully agree with all the stuff that he says. And you wouldn't either. And if you've read him, you would agree with some likely and others not. But he is dead on this point. His name is Richard Rohr, And this is what he said about this first best move of owning your stuff. He says, you cannot heal what you do not acknowledge. That's a strong statement. You cannot heal what you do not acknowledge. And what you do not consciously acknowledge will remain in control of you from within, festering and destroying you and those around you. And to think that this wasn't impacting the family is wrong. Because what is the father doing in the story? Jesus makes it clear. He's waiting for the return of his son. He's actively longing because when he saw him coming down the road, he took off running. And we'll pick that up in later sermons here in the next few weeks. But in this, we can see that there was a wake of pain in the story Jesus is telling, this dance of life that we have, where he's saying that the pain that was in this boy was reciprocal for others as well. It was impacting others around. And you cannot heal what you do not acknowledge. But he acknowledged it. He owned it. And he began to rehearse a speech in his mind, saying there's only one, well, two that I've sinned against. It's my father and God himself. And he rehearsed the speech and went to his father, the best move that he could make, and said, Father, I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He did it. He owned it. And the response of the father, again, this is a story about God's heart for you and for me. It might have looked something like this.
Hey, Dad. It's me. Man, I know it's been a long time since we talked. I was kind of hoping you'd answer, but I understand you probably don't want to talk to me. I've just gone so far, and the things I've done, I just regret it, you know? And I know how bad I've hurt you and let you down, but Dad, I miss you. I miss how we drive around and just talk about life. And I just want to come home. But I know you've probably written me off. I can't blame you, actually. Here's the thing. It's kind of a shot in the dark, but I'm coming through town soon, and I'd really just like to see you. I know I can't just show up at the front door like I used to, but if you want to see me, just hang a small sheet out on the porch. If the sheet isn't there when I drive by, I'll keep going, and I'll try not to bother you anymore. I love you, Dad.
Thank you.
The story is actually better than that. Jesus told it in a better fashion because he said that the father ran to him as soon as he saw him coming, almost like he'd been sitting there day after day after day, like so many parents have for children that have wandered away, so many of you, and prayed, will this be the day? Will this be the day? Will this be the day? If you're somebody here today that I've been talking to and the Holy Spirit's just been moving in you saying, you can make all those choices and keep running down that road, but you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to live with that guilt anymore. Then know if our parents, some of our parents at least, that are so good, have a heart that just waits and prays for and longs for that day that we return, how much more God? Jesus gave us this picture that he's looking out the door, out the window of the house every single day. And that one day where he saw his son come in his direction, he took off running his direction. He was prepped, ready to roll. And he threw his arms around him. He hugged him. He kissed him. The son was already into his rehearsed speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. But he couldn't hardly hear it. It was good news that his son had returned home. And he kissed him and said, kill the fatted calf. It's time to throw a party. The scripture actually says there's more celebrating in heaven with just one person that does that. Just one. Jesus tells one story after another like this. Gives us the heart of God, one person that's returning, then over 99 that are already here. 99 that have figured it out. Of course he celebrates all 99, but it's the one, another one found their way back. That moment for many, gets marked by baptism. And on August 18, we're gonna be moving to the waters of baptism. Maybe you're somebody that's been baptized already and that's not what it's about for you. But maybe today is that day that you're thinking to yourself, I'm done running. All I needed to hear is that the best move is to acknowledge it because I cannot heal without fully acknowledging this stuff. Those around me can't heal until I come clean on this stuff. That's a great first move. You're surrounded by people who have done that very same thing. Your story just has different detail. And it's okay. This is a place where it's okay because it's okay with the heart of our Father. Therefore, it's okay in this family. And then to be in a place where you do return to the very heart of God, to the very home of who God is. If you're in that place today, please don't leave here today without having a conversation with somebody that you trust or with me. I would love to do that. Love to have that conversation. And if you're thinking this move of baptism is for you, I'm going to be here right after worship. I would love to have a conversation around that with you as well. We're going to pick the story up in the next few weeks here as well and dive deeper into this story. It's the first two parts of it. We've talked about these longings that we have and what do we do with regret. And over the next few weeks, we're going to dive deeper into the very heart of God for you and for me. Let's pray together. Father, we would ask this morning for any of us that are in that place this morning where we have wandered from the heart of God, from your heart, from our true home. Whatever drove us there, it's those things that in this world we're longing. Sometimes we chase them in relationships, and sometimes we chase them trying to get some kind of stellar career and think maybe this will do it for me. And all along, you've been the center of that which we really need. Sometimes, almost like this young man in the video, we wonder, is it too late? Have we gone too far? But what incredible news there is when your son Jesus told the story, painted a picture that would say, this one seems, if there is a story that's unredeemable, it's this one. And you say, let me tell you about the heart of God. He ran, he embraced, he forgave, he kissed him on the cheek, he put a family ring back on his hand, said, this son, call him a son, not this man who rejected me, not this man who wandered away from me, this man who wants a job, this son of mine who belongs to me is home, home. And so bless us now again and again and again with the knowledge of that grace that covers us and floods us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, from fingertip to fingertip. We are washed, immersed in you. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are able to catch a glimpse of the Jesus seen in the scriptures and to live a life modeled after his. For service times or for more information about how to be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.